Good morning and welcome to Trinity this last Sunday of 2015. We are thankful and blessed that you are here to worship our Lord and Savior, the Christ child, Jesus, our King. Just to highlight a couple announcements before we begin this time of praise and worship, you'll notice in your bulletin a calendar for, it's hard to believe, January of 2016, of all of those things that will be taking place here at Trinity. As God leads, may you just decide to be a part of those ministries and those different aspects of, you know, events and ministries that are taking place here at Trinity. Also, following today's service, please stick around in the fellowship hall for cookies and punch to honor the confirmation class, which today is Confirmation Sunday. And one last announcement. Next month, January of 2016, it is our month to serve a meal up at formerly Western Avenue. It is now called Mosaic Ministries. And so if you would like to be a part of that, you can see me or you can see Ray or Rich Witte. And we take a meal four times a year up to the inner city of Toledo, prepare it and serve it and bless those who are involved with that ministry. So if you would be like to be a part of that, please see me or Ray Solo or Rich Witte. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before the Lord here this morning. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We especially thank you for the Christ child, Jesus, whom we celebrated the birth on Friday. And Lord, we gather again to worship you, to praise you, to sing many praises unto your holy name. And we thank you for the confirmation class, the confirmands, who we will honor as to just giving thanks to you for how you're working in their lives. We bless you for that. We invite you to be a part of this service. May your Holy Spirit open our hearts and impact our minds and touch our very being, that we might grow in our relationship and our walk with you. So we commit this service into your care. May you be blessed and honored and glorified in all things that are done and said here today. We bless you now. In the name of the risen Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, turn to your neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today.
Well, hell yeah, 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 this little light of mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
as we thank the Lord for what he's done for us. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us that light to allow it to shine, Lord. We thank you for giving us promises. We thank you for your love, Father, because we want to stand on those promises that you've given us, Lord. Allow us to have that relationship, to open our hearts and get to know you and have that relationship with you and to receive your love, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and what you're doing in the lives of those, Father, that are dedicating their lives to you, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to grow the church and continue to work in their lives, Father, in the lives of all of us, so that we may have that relationship with you and put you first in all things. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing high, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing high, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing high, standing on the promises of God.
Do that one more time. I like that.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing high, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
Yes. We need to remember to stand on those promises of God, because there isn't anything he won't do for us. Allow us to open the eyes of our hearts to be able to receive what he wants to give to us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being here today, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in the lives of all the people that are here, Father, and those that you're still calling, that still need you, Lord. Allow them to be reached, Father. We all have family members, and we all know people that we think need you, Lord, Father, but sometimes it's also us that needs you, Lord. Father, allow our lives to be touched, but allow their lives to be touched also, that they may have that relationship with you. Lord, continue to work in the lives of the people that are here, Lord. Mend relationships, Lord. Bring together the love of the family, Lord. Bring together your love into our hearts, Lord. Father, we ask a special blessing over this service and those that are being dedicated today, Lord, that their lives may be enriched and get to know you, Father, and to do your will and follow your plan. In all things, we give you praise today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite all of the members of the confirmation class to come forward and stand up here with me right now. So as you're coming, I just want to share a story with you. It was an account that I had with an individual some months ago. And over the last several months, Nick Blasey and myself, we've had the opportunity to work with these kids. And basically, I was going about my daily business, and I had this interaction, this conversation with this individual, and I was purchasing something for the class, and they asked me, what was it for? And I said, it's for our confirmation class at church. And they said, well, that's really neat. How many do you have in your class? And I said, we have 7. And then this individual proceeded to tell me that when their child went through confirmation many years ago, there was only 1. And next year, their church is beginning to close. And so when we look at these 7 young lives, we must see what God is doing here. Now, numbers aren't everything, friends. But my hope and my prayer is when we hear from these confirmands in a few moments that you will begin to hear how God has truly touched their hearts and has moved in their life. Because, friends, when God moves, a person is never the same. And so we have with us Jacob Bash, we have Luke Dilworth, Caleb Holcomb, Bryson Schilling, John Dilworth, Carolee Heilman and Andrea Bodecker. I want to point our attention up to the screen, and so over the next few moments, if you would. God is alive and well. Amen?
Amen?
When you hear and you have the opportunity to work with young lives as Nick and I have had, it'll do something to your faith. And so for all the parents out there, we're going to move you up in a straight line right up close. So Andrea, if you'll go there. Carly, and face the congregation so everybody can get photos that want photos. So make sure that, how about that? Here, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody can hear.
Like I was saying, you remember the statements that we discussed in class. And you remember that on this day, if you believe them to be true, if you agree with them, simply reply with, yes, I do. Okay? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord? Will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you be loyal to Christ through being a member of the church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Amen. Now, Max, we're going to present them with their...
We have a charge for the congregation first, but you as a congregation and parents and godparents, do you promise to stand with these youth who have publicly professed their faith in Jesus Christ here this morning? Do you promise to stand with them in prayer, to support them, to exhort them, to encourage them, to foster an environment where their faith can grow? do you promise, as a congregation of Trinity United Methodist Church, to surround them and uplift them as their parents are growing them in their faith? If you do promise that, then please say that we do by the grace of God.
We do by the grace of God.
Okay. We have certificates for them, and what I want you to hear, in the video, you saw this, the affirmational statements of faith. And I want you to hear that from them. And on the bottom of their certificate, you will see is that those statements of faith, we have placed those right on the certificate. So as we pass them out, then we're going to ask each of the confirmands to read those to us so that we truly can hear how God has been moving in the lives and in the hearts of those that stand before you now.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in God's church. I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. I believe that we are God's children.
I believe that Jesus was resurrected. I believe in the church. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Christians.
I believe in the God and the one and only. I believe in the Holy Spirit and Trinity. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible and whatever God says. I believe in heaven. I believe in Christians. And I believe that Jesus heals.
I believe in God, the church, and Jesus Christ. I believe in the pastor. I believe in the Holy Spirit of God.
I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe I'm a sinner and I can ask for forgiveness. I believe that God is the only one, the true God. I believe that God died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus never sinned. And I believe that Jesus will come back and rapture me.
I believe that God is the only God. I believe that Jesus resurrected. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the forgiveness of our sins. I believe that God created the world.
I believe that Jesus is the gate. I believe that Jesus is the good shepherd. I believe that Jesus did miracles to save us all. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I believe that Jesus resurrected Lazarus. I believe that Jesus gives the abundant life. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
It does something to your friends, doesn't it? When you hear the statements of affirmation, the statements of faith, and these are not just superficial statements, these are in-depth, well-thought-out statements. And friends, it'll move your heart if your heart is open, if your heart is accepting of what God is doing. And it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful, it's an awesome thing. And so we also had a friend of Trinity that offered to provide Bibles for each of the confirmands. And we have filled out the inside page, and so we want to present each of these youngsters with a Bible. Make sure that they are correct there, Jake, or Nick. And the last thing that we want to present each one of these youngsters is, it's a Christmas tree ornament. And since we are so close to Christmas, it was my thought that each Christmas, when they hang the ornament on the tree, they can commemorate the day that they were confirmed in their faith. And it is an ornament that says, "Abide in Him." And we talked a lot about what it means to abide in the Lord Jesus and what that looks like and how their faith needs to be real and how they need to live it out each day. And so we are going to present to each one of these youngsters a Christmas tree ornament so they can truly commemorate this day when you have stood publicly before friends and family and those who know you, and you have confessed your personal faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your coming King. And so we're going to load them up with all kinds of goodies here this morning. And I want to, once we get all those passed out, I want us to pause and pray over all of them. So if you feel comfortable, extend your hands right where you're seated. Just let's surround them with a good word of prayer, and let's offer up a word of prayer to the Lord, who is truly moving here at Trinity, truly doing some wonderful things. And this is attesting to that. So let's bow our heads and our hearts. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. And we especially thank you for this confirmation class of 2015. We thank you for their heart, for their desire to be in a relationship with you, and how you have moved in their lives. Oh Christ, may we take a page from their life, and may we learn what it truly means to have faith and to follow you and to boldly and unashamedly profess faith in you, Jesus. And so, Father, help us all to stand with them as they journey with you, and as you cultivate their relationship, help us to be committed to pray for them, to encourage them and uplift them with words of life and not other words. And Lord God, may you help us as a church, not just here within the four walls of Trinity, but as a church universal, the followers of you, Jesus, may you help us to exhort them to go on further with their walk with you, O Lord. And so, Father, bless these young lives. May you go before them. May you be their rear guard and their front guard. And may you provide the provisions that they need for life. And may your holy protection surround them all the days of their life. And, oh, Heavenly Father, may you truly bless them. Expand their borders and increase their territory and bless them indeed. And so, Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for the testimony that they have provided for all of us here this morning. And may we bless you and bless them by standing with them as they walk with you. We pray this in the mighty, in the risen, and in the Christ child's name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Let's give God a round of applause for what he did. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. As the ushers are coming, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hands. Beautiful, beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for worship. All of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Your kind and gracious, everlasting Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the promises to today and all the many blessings that you have bestowed us each and every day. Father, we ask your blessing upon these offerings that have been placed on your altar this morning. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Part of the curriculum or the teaching that Nick and I, you know, committed to those young lives over the course of the several months when we met with them, it was a teaching about what God wants for them and for their life. And we were not bashful or shy in telling them that God wanted the best for them. And that's one of the reasons why he gives us the commands and he gives us the ordinances all through the scripture. And when I thought about this Sunday, I thought about a message that we as adults could learn from them. And truly, truly, I believe that it is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. Now, you have to understand that Joshua, he was Moses' successor, and he followed Moses in leading the Israelites into the promised land. Now, Moses was always the leader all the days of Joshua's life. He disobeyed God, and God gave him a consequence and said, "Because of your disobedience, you will not enter into the promised land." And God raised up Joshua to do just that. And so we begin in the book of Joshua. If you're reading with the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 331. We're going to read the first 9 verses. And friends, what we're going to find here this morning is we're going to find God's secrets to success. And that was exactly what we talked with these confirmands about week in and week out, is God's secrets to success. And truly, God does want you to be successful. He wants me to be successful. He wants you to live without regrets, and he wants me to live without regrets. He doesn't want us to have the burdens of the convictions of doing wrong, and he doesn't want you or me to have the burdens of the guilt that when we do things wrong, we carry. He wants you and I to be free. He wants you and I to experience the success as he determines it, as he deems it for your life and for mine. Now, that may seem like an oxymoron, meaning the two don't go together, Christianity and success. But we need to remember, many individuals in the scriptures, even in the world's eyes, were very successful. And what we're going to find is this one truth, and yes, it's boiled all the way down to one very truth. You will find all the individuals in the scriptures had this in their heart, and it was their teachability. You can look at David. All the errors and all the mistakes that he made, but when the day was done, when everything was said and it was all done, he was teachable by God. You can look at Moses, and when he wasn't teachable, he's killing Egyptians. But when he's teachable, he's leading the Israelites toward the promised land. You can look at our Lord and Savior Jesus. You ever wonder why he rose early in the day to go pray? Because he himself was teachable. He goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he meets with Moses and Elijah, and then he meets with God the Father. And yes, Jesus himself was teachable because he was fully man and fully God. The list goes on and on and on and on. The Apostle Paul goes to the deserts of Arabia after Jesus comes to him, and he himself is instructed by Jesus himself, no other, for 3.5 years before he commissions his ministry. All through the scriptures, friends, it's the teachability, yours and mine, that will determine how far and how good and how right and how things will go in your life. I've seen it in my own life. When I'm not very teachable, things fall apart. When I'm teachable, and it's called meekness, friends, it's not weakness, it's meekness. Moses and Jesus, all through the scripture, are the only two individuals that are called meek. Now let that sink in. Moses and Jesus, Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. Jesus leading you and me out of darkness, out of bondage to sin, out of slavery. Those are the only two in scripture that have the title attached to them as being meek. And so my hope and my prayer for these confirmands is that they will remain teachable. My hope and my prayer for you and for me as we embark on 2016, that you and I will become teachable if we're not, that we will remain teachable if we are, because friends, we're going to see what God promised to Joshua here in the first chapter. So read along with me. If you have your Bibles open, we're going to read the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When I was a young man, I was drawn to the book of Joshua because it's a book of conquering. All through Joshua, you can see when Joshua and the others are teachable, they obeyed God and they had great success. They conquered, you know, cities such as Jericho. But when they were not teachable, they had great defeats at the city of Ai. And this defeat was because of Achan, who was an Israelite, his unteachability and his desire to do things in his own strength and in his own power and his own ability. And so when we think of 2016 and what will truly position you and for me to have the most success and to be the most prosperous, it boils down to one word, and it's your teachability and mine. Let that sink in. Because when you're not teachable, you're doing things your own way. You're going at things in your own strength and your own power, and there is nothing anybody can say or do or anything could happen to you that will ever change your mind. In the mid-90s, I had the opportunity to work with Sports World Ministries. And there was a gentleman, he was about 6'8", it seemed like at the time. Everybody's taller than me. But long story short, he played in the 1985 Super Bowl Chicago Bears football team. Well, he went to Michigan State. And he shared his testimony that his senior year, they got a new coach in Michigan State, and he said the one day, the first day of practice, the coach ran them and ran them and ran them and ran them and ran them. And he said the prior coach's mentality was that if people needed to drink and they got tired, they could walk and they could do things. Well, the new regime, the new coaching regime, they didn't say anything. But that first day, they ran them. And he said there were times that he wanted to stop and he wanted to quit, but he never did. He was listening to the coach and how the coach was exhorting them, and he never stopped. He hung in there and hung in there and hung in there. He said many of his buddies were over there, and they were not feeling very well on the sidelines. He said he always hung in there and stuck with it, as hard as it was, as difficult as it was. Here's the rest of the story. The next day in practice, he shows up, and he got two lists hanging on the locker room door. One list was a cut list. One list was the team list. And what that new head coach had done is he had recognized all those players who had exhibited an unteachable spirit by doing things their way rather than by listening to his directives and his way, and he cut them all. Now, Mike Cobb went on to say this. He said he couldn't think and he could not begin to quit imagining how many millions of dollars and how much missed opportunities all those individuals threw away because they did it in their own way. Now, we can apply that to our own life. We can apply it to our vocation, to our occupation, to those hobbies, those passions. We can apply it to our relationships, to our finances, and all those aspects. If you are unteachable, you will suffer and you will experience the despair. If you are teachable, you will experience God's provision. You will experience God's blessing. Now, this is not a health, wealth, prosperity gospel here. I'm not about that. But for years, I would read this first chapter of Joshua, and I was drawn to be strong and courageous because you will lead. I was drawn to the actions, but I missed verse 7. And here's the key to your teachability and my teachability. It's found in verse 7 and verse 8, and it says this. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. That's the first step. Your teachability has to be a spirit of submission to God's word. Be careful to obey all that he had spoken to Moses. And don't turn from the left or to the right from it. Listen to it. Adhere to it. Let it sink in. But God doesn't stop there. In verse 8, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then the result will always be you will be prosperous and successful. So you listen, you obey to God's word. You meditate on it. You internalize it. You ingest it. And friends, this is God's love letter to you and to me. It's what he wants you and I to grasp. It's what he wants you and I to live by. If we don't accept that, we're not teachable. You see how it goes? We can stand against the God's word, but we're not teachable. That's the irony in it. You have to submit to God the Father, and that's his heart, because until we submit to God the Father, we are not teachable, and things will go the way that we want them to go, and quite frankly, friends, they won't even go that way. They'll disintegrate and they'll flake away. God says, obey it. Listen to it, but don't stop there. Meditate on it. Soak it in your very being. Be like the prophet Ezekiel and eat the scrolls. Eat it. Internalize it. Ingest it. May it become like a part of you. And here's the reason why. When everything goes to pot, and yes, everything, all the chips are down, it won't be what you think you will be doing. It will be a mere reaction. When I was playing football in college, Coach Rice, he used to tell me this, tell all of us defensive linemen this. He would say, Max, it's not a question if you're going to get knocked down. It's what you're going to do when you get knocked down. But then he would go further and he would say this. He would say, you cannot think what you're going to do when you get knocked down because you've lost. You got to react. Boom. React. Boom. React. Boom. If you are stopping to think, you're missing it. And it's still on your terms. To be teachable is to sit at Jesus' feet, to focus on Him, the living Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It was in the beginning. When you ingest the Word, the Scriptures, you are communing with Jesus, the Christ child. You are allowing Him to teach you and to inscript you with the holy eternal truths. And here's the sad fact is, as many Christians, they don't enter this throughout the week. I could share stats with you. It's a sobering thing. Our society is getting more and more biblically illiterate. We don't know what's in here. And yet we wonder why all the things in our society are taking place. Well, it's all correlated. It's all connected. It's all based upon the teachability of our society. And our society is a selfish society because we refuse. We refuse to listen to God's Word. We refuse. And what's worse is we are raising a generation that is not like those seven that stood up here. We're raising a generation that is opposed to this. And my hope and my prayer for all those seven that stood up here is that they will always meditate on God's Word day and night, and then it will become a reaction, and it won't be something that they will think about. It will become second nature, and when crisis happens, it will be, hey, the fruits of the Spirit will come out of their life, and it will be God being revealed in their life, and it won't be them. But it starts with teachability. And so as we close this morning, I had PowerPoints, we're not even going to get there. We're going to close. And I'll just share this with you. Teachability can be equated to life and death, literal life and death. I'm currently working through the book Unbroken, which tells the story of the Olympic athlete, Louis Frampini, and how he went into and became a bombardier. And after 47 days on a raft, after his plane went down over the ocean. There were three in that raft. And his teachability kept him and the pilot alive. And you ask how. His teachability and his ingenuity and what God led him to, it literally crushed the individual that was not teachable because they were swallowed up with despair. Mac was that guy's name, but the pilot, Phil was his name, and Lewis was the other guy's name, the Olympic athlete, and because they were open and they were teachable, they survived through it all. And so when you think about your teachability, don't just think about your spiritual health. Think about your relational health. Think about your financial health. Think about your spiritual health. Think about your physical health. In the book, Laura Hildenbrand, she speaks from the diaries of all the people that were involved and how the despair swallowed this guy up. And it literally changed him because of one fact. He refused to be teachable. Teachable by whom, you ask? Teachable by Louis and Phil. And the book goes into lengths as to how they tried. They tried to pull him out of it. He refused. They tried to speak to him. He refused. And eventually, it got the best of him. What I want for you and what I want for me as we embark on 2016 is I want you and me to be successful and to be prosperous. In God's eyes, first and foremost, not in the world's eyes. And the way that God wants you and I to be successful and prosperous is by internalizing, to meditate upon His holy word so that we will not operate in our own strength, ability, or our own power. We will be teachable by the risen Christ. We will be teachable by His holy word. Friends, Scripture tests, and people throughout the centuries have tried. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you know what will stand forever? God's Word. God's Word. God's Word will stand forever, ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And how much time do we seek and employ and go after all this material junk when it's all just going to pass away and we forfeit the only thing that will never pass away? You want to be successful? You want to be prosperous? You want God to flourish and bless and give you bounty in all aspects of your life? Seek to be teachable. That's my challenge to those kids. I shared it with them in class, and it's my challenge to all of us. Be teachable. If you're not, get on your face. Say, Jesus, help me, forgive me. If you are, remain with a soft heart, with a teachable heart. Because, friends, that's the only place that God can really break in and use you. You look at the disciples, and months ago we did a whole series on the disciples. The one common denominator that Jesus picked in all the disciples, they were all teachable. Every single one of them. There's not one except Judas, albeit Judas was not teachable. Look where it ended up with him. That's my challenge. That's God's word to you and to me. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the challenge that you have given to us today. The challenge to not go at things on our own strength, our own power, our own ability, but to go at things and to be careful, to obey your word, and Lord, to meditate on it, to allow it to seep deep within our very being, in our soul. Give us this diligence and this discipline to focus upon you, to allow you to teach us, to sit at your feet daily, not just once every great while, but daily, so that you truly will be moving in our heart and soul. And Father, may the success and the prosperity that we experience here in this world, may it truly reflect your grace, your goodness, your mercy, your peace, and your truth. And may it be a reflection of our obedience to you, not that we do it to deserve it, but that we are following, we are teachable. And so, Father, I thank you for my friends as we embark on a new year, a blessing from you. May you find our hearts to truly be teachable. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine. Singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies in these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine. I have surrendered.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May the suffering stretch across the sky.
As we close, I truly believe that if you and I remain teachable throughout life, that the hallelujahs that you experience each and every day will truly be multiplied, because you will have hallelujahs that God is doing many things, and you will begin to see what God is doing. And so, friends, as we move toward a new year, may you, may I, remain teachable. May the God of all grace bless you and keep you. May his love saturate your soul and his peace be the anchor for your very being. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart with a teachable spirit. Amen.